Everybody, welcome to 2 Out the First. It's April 9th, 2024. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. We've got a couple things to talk about today. We've got some kind of pre-masters talk. We've got a little bit about the golf course changes for this year and some of the reaction to the setup and how the condition of the golf course is probably the best it's been in 5-6 years at least. Then we'll talk a little bit about some comments from John Rahm to BBC Sport, which you've probably seen everywhere, but I think is at least worth having a conversation about since we've talked about it so many times on the show. We're presented by our friends at Swannies. Check them out, swannies.co. Use the promo code GOLFNEWSNET25 and save 25% off your first order. Little spoiler alert, yes, I do get credit, not money, but I do get credit if you use the promo code. However, if you sign up for their text list, their SMS text list, you can get 50% off of any floral print stuff from Swannies starting on the 11th. So go over to swannies.co and sign up for that SMS text list and you will get that promo code. That 50% off is way better than my 20%. So check it out. All right. So sounds like Augusta National is in the best shape it has been in quite some time. And that's very, very exciting. A lot of players are talking about it. Xander Schauffele talked about it in his news conference yesterday at Augusta National, where he mentioned that he was hitting a 5-iron into one of the par fives, I believe he said. And he, to use his words, the ball tomahawked over the green, which means kind of bounced really hard and high and then went over the back. By all accounts, even going back to last week at the Augusta National Women's Am, the golf course is in the kind of shape where it's going to be firm, it's going to be fast, it's not going to be particularly receptive, at least they hope it won't be. The weather forecast for Thursday does call for some pretty nasty rain, that it could be pretty ugly. Those things are subject to change, right? I mean, I was playing golf in Aiken, South Carolina 2 weeks ago, and the weather forecast for that morning was basically a washout, but showed up to the course anyway, and the rain held off, and it was beautiful by the end. That same thing could happen here. So you could have a tough weather day on Thursday, but the rest of the week looks great. So they've got the sub-air system. They can get rid of water very quickly at this property, on the putting surfaces, everywhere else. It's going to be fine. It might be a little bit softer than you get it right now, but it should still be pretty firm. And that's the good news. I think we're going to get a Masters where, like when I was growing up and you watched the Masters on TV in the early 90s, when I really started watching it, the amount of bounces and how hard it was to stop the ball, that's what made Augusta so tough. That you could hit a great shot, and if you didn't account for the bounce or you didn't account for spin properly, you were still in a really difficult position. And I think that's what we're trying to get back to here this week. The golf ball spins so much better now off of every club, prop more properly than it ever did in the 90s, and you're not dealing with blotto, you're dealing with solid core. The balls are more consistent, they're better made. The equipment is better. You could just control everything more with your equipment than you ever could back then. But if you make the golf course firm and fast enough, there's really nothing equipment can do, especially if you're coming into greens with longer irons. So on the par fives in particular, I'm thinking about sometimes 9, definitely 11, 17 to a degree, depending on how you want to handle it. Definitely 18. You know, those are shots that are not going to be easy holds if this is the way the course setup remains, even with the rain on Thursday. I think that's going to be great. That's going to make, you know, scoring, winning score more like 10, 12 under than 14, 16 under probably. If it softens it up really significantly, then you're probably looking at more like 14, 16 under to win the tournament. Either way, it sounds by all accounts like the course has not been in this good a shape in a long time, and I'm very excited about that. There is some conversation around the changes to Augusta National this year. They really only announced one, and they do that each year. They share the one or two or three things, whatever it is, that they want the public to know is different because you're going to notice it. And the biggest thing you're going to notice is the changes to number two. The tee is back left by 10 yards, and it really forces the player to take on the right fairway bunker and hit a kind of sweeping draw if you want to use the slope to your advantage, because you can't really carry it now. You could have carried it before if you smacked one, you know, 310, and then you get the big down slope and it's a totally different hole. Now you don't really have that as easily. I mean, you could still do it if you smash one like 330, but good luck to you then. There aren't many players who can do that. And that means you've got to work the ball from right to left, take it off of that bunker, then get the slope and give yourself a chance. Now you're down to the lower part of that swale. That second shot's not as easy. You're probably thinking about the tree line a little bit. You've got a longer iron or a hybrid or a fairway wood in your hand. They've changed the greenside bunker to the right, which used to be a place and probably still would be a place. A lot of players dump the ball with their second shot because they know it, they are historically known, is not the hardest up and down. The way the green is shaped and has been sloped over the years, you could use portions of the green as backstop to get to certain hole locations. So as an up and down, that wasn't as challenging. But they've changed that. They've deepened the bunker. So now it's not just a easy dump out and let it spin. You've got to hit a pretty precise shot. They've changed the sloping of the green, particularly back left, it sounds like, so that you can't just kind of use it as easily as a backstop. You kind of have to be a little bit more creative, a little bit more skilled to do that kind of stuff, to get up and down from the bunker. So that's going to make two more difficult. Number six is more difficult in the back right portion, that little tiny shelf back there, which if you miss that shot, long is the miss historically, because you would have a pretty straightforward pitch or putt through the fringe. And if you executed that properly, you had a pretty good chance getting up and down. Now there's a little swale, little collection area back there. And if you find it, now you don't have as straightforward of an up and down, right? It's not just to kind of putt it back on and let it trickle out. You've got to hit a good shot. And if you don't, then your ball is going to miss that tier and go all the way down to the front. And that's not fun. That's not a fun two putt. That is often a three putt for a lot of players. And I think they just wanted to stiffen up the threat of that back right pin position on that green. So it's a subtle change. The subtle ones they don't really tell you about. And supposedly, I think what was the other one? They also made a change to number four, the downhill par three, the longest par three on the course. Supposedly they made a couple minor changes to that green. I don't care, unless they completely changed it, that's still a very difficult shot, even with the pin in the kind of more, the wider portion behind the bunker and that kind of space left to right. It's still a really hard shot. It's a long 4-iron, 5-iron down the hill to what looks to be a small target. And up and down from that bunker is no bargain. If you go deep, you're almost certainly making four. So yeah, the changes may be subtle, but it's a tough shot regardless. And I think those are good changes. I mean, they've made the course just marginally more difficult. And they've got it in good shape to be firm and fast. That's great. I think we're going to get a great Masters if Thursday isn't horrible. And that weather forecast can change. We'll see what happens there. But I think there's a lot of kind of, I'm trying to gauge from afar, right? Like what golf fans might say on X or Facebook or wherever I write. You can find our stuff, obviously, at golfnewsnet.com. Our stuff's at MSN now, so we get comments from people on MSN, but that's, never read the comments. You really should never. If you're commenting on the internet, you are probably, in a article on the internet, you are probably not someone who listens as a podcast, just thinking reality-wise. But it seems like there's palpable excitement, maybe a little, but not maybe as much as last year. I think there's a little bit of a turn down, and two reasons for that. One, last year the Masters was around Easter, and every year the Masters is around Easter Sunday or on Easter Sunday, that creates an additional audience. Easter's a stay-home holiday. It's not like Christmas where, I mean, that is a stay-home holiday, but that's a stay-home and turn-off-the-TV holiday. Easter's a, all right, we're done by 12, now we can go do whatever we want to do and sit on the couch kind of holiday. A little bit different. So you won't have that benefit this year. And I still do think people are substantially turned off by what's happened between the PGA Tour and LIV. I don't know what the ratings are going to look like, but if you get a great tournament, it won't matter. People will watch. So that's the real key point here in all of this. We'll see what happens. I want to switch gears to something Jon Rahm said, and it's gotten a lot of play, and I think it's fair that it got a lot of play. I don't know necessarily it's for the right reason, but it got a lot of play. So Rahm was talking to BBC Sport. Ian Carter is a great follow on Twitter, and he was conducting a lengthy interview with Rahm, the reigning Masters champion. And Rom goes and talks about a variety of subjects. But, you know, a fair number of the questions are about Liv and his move to Liv and all that type of stuff and how he feels about playing on Liv. Because Nick Faldo came out with criticism and said, well, Rom's probably not in great competitive shape. He's been playing resort courses and playing 54-hole tournaments in shorts. But, you know, I think that's an easy troll job from Nick Faldo. I mean, the reality is Brooks Koepka was playing exhibition golf, so to speak, and he won the PGA Championship last year. I you know, it's kind of hard to say that that can't work for somebody. So we'll take that for what it's worth. But anyway, I don't think Rom's comments he makes are in response to Faldo in any way. He's talking to Ian Carter and says, basically, he thinks if there was any change he would make to Liv Golf, that he would go from 54 holes to 72 holes instead of having a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday tournament. He would have it be 4 days. You could still keep the shotgun start component and say, like, ditch the shotgun start. Although I think probably there are some players who would ditch the shotgun start if you ask them, but it also gets them done in a certain window. Like, you're not waiting all day to play. It's just you play and it's over. So I think some players probably see some value in that. Others may not like it as much because they might be architectural buffs and go, well, you're not playing the course as intended. You're just playing the course, and that's, and you're playing a different course than every player because you're playing in a different order. So that's different. And I agree with that assessment, but that's not the point he's trying to harp onto. He's trying to harp onto that so many fans go, oh, well, you just play three rounds and you play in shorts, and it seems like it's just exhibition golf because you don't care, and the PGA Tour champions play 54-hole events, and they have no cut, and you might as well just call it the same thing because you got a lot of guys who are capable of being on the Champions Tour at the moment, handful of them. So, what, you know, this is exhibition golf. So he believes that if they went to 72 holes, they would get a little bit better traction, right? Whether that's with fans or in this negotiation with the PGA Tour and the Saudi Public Investment Fund, who owns Liv, maybe that, you know, that would work out a little bit better if that were more of an apples-to-apples tournament. Because if you're trying to integrate Liv Golf some way into the PGA Tour schedule, which I think they would, what I surmise from people I've talked to and just kind of reading the tea leaves, right? It's that, not that Liv Golf would necessarily remain, it might, as an individual series, but that really it's integrating team golf in some fashion. And maybe that's what Liv Golf actually is having teams for some kind of international series in the fall or what have you. And that the Liv golfers play individual events that are 54 holes, I don't think that really matters a whole lot to most players on the PGA Tour. I don't think they particularly care. I think a lot of golf fans care because that's what they know. It's 72 holes. And the reality is, the more holes you play, the more likely you are to define the champion correctly. Right? If you played 18-hole tournaments, flukes can happen. Anybody can have one great round and get out of it. That's why Q School for the PGA Tour got phased out for so long as the way to determine PGA Tour cards, because you could have one great week and you get a PGA Tour card. And that wasn't really the best indicator of success on the PGA Tour. 1 week, what it turns out to be, the better indicator is success over a 25, 27, 29 event season that's the Korn Ferry Tour. And they've expanded that number over time because they've realized those players are better prepared to compete on the PGA Tour than anyone that would ever come out of Q School. However, Q School is really fun and it's really dramatic and interesting. So that's why they brought that back. So I think the same thing kind of applies to what Rom's saying. You would identify better champions over 72 holes, but also at the same time, as I've said many times before, Liv Golf is a 10, 12 guy league out of the 54 players, even when they had 48 players, but especially now with 54 players, there aren't many players who can win. And the ones that can, there have been several frequent, you know, several multiple time winners. And there are a lot of players who are just there to cash a check. They're never a threat to win. They're a threat to maybe top 10, top 5, whatever, but never a threat to win. And that's really the rub, I think, about Liv. There are lots of other things to take issue with, whether that's the moral piece of it, the ethical piece of it, of the Saudi backing, if you feel that way about it, which how I feel about it. In terms of the other stuff, and I've told people privately this before, if this were private equity, a true private equity, you know, like a BlackRock kind of thing, came in and was like, we want to start a golf league. We're funding it. We're paying boatloads of money. We're going to lose our butts on this, but we're going to make it work, darn it. And it wasn't the Saudis. I think the reaction would be quite different. I think there'd still be a lot of people who don't like it because of the disruption, because of the different format. There are lots of different reasons to not be okay with Liv. But I think a lot of people, for them, it is ethical. And a lot of people go, oh, especially Liv backers, go, well, it's a political issue. No, I don't think it's a political issue, because if it were a political issue, I wouldn't see as many people with differing viewpoints, otherwise politically, be in opposition to Liv Golf. It is more of an ethical thing. So I understand where Rom's coming from. He believes that if the Liv product more resembles what fans are used to, then they might be more likely to accept it. And to a degree, that's probably true to some degree, but not a huge degree. And I think he misses, and he said kind of, he's alluded to missing being able to play in 72-hole tournaments against basically Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy and throw in, you know, your other six or seven best players on the PGA Tour. And yes, I may criticize Liv as a 10 to 12 person tour. PGA Tour has proven it's not a 10 to 12 person tour because of the weird season we've had and just decades of one-off winners and things like that. The margin between best and 70th is not that big week to week, right? It seems much bigger from 1 to 30 on Liv. That's just my perception. But I don't think if you just suddenly add a fourth shotgun round, shotgun start round, that people go, oh, well, in that case, sign me right up. You know, that I don't think that's how it works either. So I thought those comments were interesting. I think Rom feels secure enough in where he is, because he's made his money. He's not necessarily being critical of Liv. He's just saying if there's something that could make it more apples to apples for fans, then that would be it. And he has no reason to be anything other than candid, because at this point, he's got his money. He's already been roasted by the people who want to roast him for taking the money. The change that he thought he would be the instigator of, or be the fulcrum for, in terms of the PGA Tour and public investment fund negotiation, that hasn't happened. So there's no reason to just kind of toe the company line necessarily. And everyone knows he's been critical of Liv and its format in the past, so he wouldn't be saying anything new by saying it. So he's kind of in an interesting position as a player on Liv, as a reigning major champion who can kind of say this type of stuff. And it moves the needle, but it's not necessarily fully out of place or ridiculously controversial or whatever. It's, if nothing else, John Rahm's an interesting dude, and he will speak his mind. Now, his mind might change, and that definitely happened with Liv Golf, it seems. And he's said multiple times now that June 6th was the catalyst for him to reconsider his position on Liv, because the PGA Tour leadership secretly reconsidered their position with Liv. And if you can't trust them, who do you trust other than yourself? And the good old Steve Austin advice, Stone Cold Steve Austin advice, DTA, don't trust anybody. And he decided he was going to make the most of what is a really messed up, difficult situation for everybody. And he feels like if the people who are in charge are messing up, why can't he, if it means a nine-figure payday? I'm not... It's a hard thing to wrestle with. I understand. And I don't think whenever this is done that fans are just going to up and forgive and forget. I don't think that's going to happen. But maybe over the course of time, some people will see it a little bit differently. Or there'll be a conflicted understanding. And I think that's kind of where I've been at with it, is I have a conflicted understanding of why I may not agree, but I've never been in that position, and trying to see kind of what happens next. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow we have the Masters Part 3 contest, which is very exciting. And then we've got the Masters tournament on Thursday. If you are in pools, if you're in fantasy groups, if you're betting on the tournament this week, I'm going to give a plug for my own podcast, The Press. Do 3 shows each week. We're actually going to do one every day this week. But we talk about golf betting, golf modeling, best bets, all kinds of stuff. We're doing that for the Masters. Did our first show for the Masters yesterday. I'm doing the model show right after this. So I invite you to tune in if you're interested in that kind of thing. Leave me an email, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy Golf. I'm on Facebook and YouTube at... I'm on all of those other services at Ryan Ballingy. I'm on Facebook and YouTube at Ryan Ballingy Golf. Too much to keep in my head some days. Back tomorrow with another show. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you next time on 2 Off the First.